This program was first broadcast on Hills AM 1575 in Dunedin and made with the assistance of New Zealand On Air.
Good evening. I'm Calvin Lyon, representing the Christadelphian Bible Truth program. Now, we've been doing a number of lessons on exploring the Bible, starting at Genesis and going through and seeing the plan and purpose that God has got with the Scriptures and showing us his plan with the world and mankind upon it. But there's been some interesting things happening in world events of lately. And the notice of world events is that the Apostle Peter tells us that we do have the sure word of prophecy to give us hope and understanding what is going on in the world. So therefore, when we look to the prophetic word and the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, we know for sure that this man Jesus, when he was on earth, he was asked by his friends, his disciples, and he gives some details indicating when he is to return. They were so anxious when they knew he was leaving, when would be the sign of his second coming. And he spoke to them, and it's just recorded in Matthew and Mark. But I'll read some aspects of it from the book of St. Luke's Gospel. And he says there that there would be signs in the sun and the moon and the stars. Now that's indication of political things on the earth. And upon the earth, he says, distress of nations with perplexity. Distress of nations with perplexity. And he says the sea and the waves roaring. There are other indications throughout the scriptures that the sea and the waves is really the roaring, is the nations and mankind upon it. But then he carries on to say in Luke, this is Luke 21, verses 25 and 26 and a few more. He says, then there'll be men's hearts failing them for fear and looking after those things which are coming on the earth. For the powers of heaven shall be shaken. And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up. Lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. In other words, the time of the end of the suffering that is going on will come to an end. And he spoke to them the parable of the fig tree and all the trees. Now the fig tree, friends, is indicative of the nation of Israel. And what he's showing us here is that the fig tree and all the trees are growing. When they now shoot forth, he says in verse 30 of Luke chapter 21, when they now shoot forth, ye see and know of your own selves that summer is now nigh at hand. So likewise ye, when ye see these things come to pass, know ye that the kingdom of God is nigh at hand. Verily I say unto you, that this generation shall not pass away till all these things I'm talking about shall be fulfilled. So neither, and just indicative to show that when he's talking about the heaven and the earth, he's also talking about ruling powers, because he says the heaven and the earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. He's not meaning the place where God is going to pass away or the earth's going to disappear. He's talking about the same as the sun, the moon and the stars. These are political, the rulers upon the earth, and they will pass away, but Jesus is coming to set up the kingdom of God on earth. There was a kingdom of God way back in the days of David, because it was referred to as the Lord's throne. David sat on the Lord's throne, so it was the kingdom of God, but this is a real one that will take place over all the earth. But anyway, let's get on. Now he spoke about the fig tree growing, and he spoke about all the nations growing, all the trees growing. And what do we see today? Well, a quick brief history. We have seen since the beginning of the last century that the Jewish people have gone back to their land and they have grown. They have shot forth their branches. In the world of things that the God controls, because it says in Daniel that God rules in the kingdoms of men and puts up whom he will at certain times to suit what his plan and purpose is. In the beginning of last century, the Ottoman Empire, run of Turkey, controlled all the land of Palestine, all the land of Iraq, Syria, and all those areas. And the First World War brought about the removal of this massive Ottoman Empire that had lasted for 400 years. It went back to its present borders roughly today. We know we had soldiers over there in Gallipoli fighting, not realizing perhaps what they were doing in the divine plan of things. But they were clearing that land ready for an opportunity for a homeland for the Jewish people. We can see that in hindsight now, because the number of places he speaks of the return of the Jews to their land, and Jesus speaking of it too. Because they were scattered in AD 70 to the four corners of the world, and they suffered persecution, but they've came back to their land. In the Second World War, Hitler destroyed so many of them, the world became very sympathetic and sorry for the Jewish people, and the United Nations voted them for a homeland alongside the Arab nations. And then they've grown, and they've, because God has brought them back, but we believe that they have grown because God has said so, and he's brought them back to do that. The opposition from people around them, because they feel they've lost some of their land to the Jewish people. Well, we don't claim that the Jewish people have always done everything right and true, but no nation has done everything right and proper with other nations. Colonial powers have been oppressive to the indigenous people of those lands as time has moved on. And what we've seen here is that because God said they would come back, they have had miraculous wars and they've won in victory. And then he says there in Ezekiel's prophecy, he talks about them coming back to their land, but he also talks about other things too that are to happen. Ezekiel chapter 38 is a very enlightening prophecy, because I'll start off and I'll read some aspects from it here, because it is indicative of the times that we live in. Because in verse 8 and verse 16, it speaks clearly that this is to be in the latter days. And this prophecy, some prophecies have had a fulfillment in the Old Testament, some have not. Jeremiah spoke of the destruction of Jerusalem and the Jews taken to Babylon. Those were fulfilled. He also spoke of them regathering them back to their land. They fulfilled that, but he also spoke of a further regathering back in the last days, the latter days. But Ezekiel talks of it, and he says, while they're living in the land, he's going to bring a nation upon them. And he says here in chapter 38, the word of the Lord came unto me, Ezekiel, saying, Son of man, set thy face against Gog, the land of Magog, the chief prince of Meshech. Chief can be interpreted as the chief prince of Rosh, Meshech, and Tubal, and prophesy against him, and say, Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I am against thee, O Gog, and chief prince of Meshech and Tubal, and I will turn thee back and put hooks into thy jaws, and I will bring thee forth, and all thy army, horses, horsemen, all of them clothed with all sorts of armour, even a great company with buckles and shields, and all of them handling swords. Persia, Ethiopia, Libya will be with them, all of them with helmet, shield, and then Gomer and all his hands, the house of Togarma of the north quarters and all his bands, and many people with thee. Be thou prepared and prepare for thyself, thou and all thy company that are assembled then with thee, and be thou a guard unto them. After many days thou shalt be visited in the latter years. Thou shalt come into the land that is brought back from the sword, Israel, and is scattered out of many people against the mountains of Israel, which have always been waste, but it is brought forth out of the nations, and they shall dwell safely, all of them. Thou shalt ascend and come like a storm. Thou shalt be like a cloud to cover the land, thou and all thy bands and many people with thee. Thus saith the Lord God, it shall come to pass that at the same time shall things come into thy mind, and thou shalt think an evil thought. This is this mighty nation from the north it speaks of. And thou shalt say, I will go up to the land of unwalled villages. I'll go to them that are at rest, that dwell safely, all them dwelling without walls and having neither bars nor gates. to take a spoil and to take a prey, to turn thine hand upon the desolate places that are now inhabited. See, Palestine was desolate, but is now inhabited. And upon the people that are gathered out of the nations. Who've been gathered out of the nations? The people of Israel, which have gotten cattle and goods that dwell in the midst of the land. Well, that's a marvelous prophecy. There's another prophecy in Daniel chapter 11 at 40, verses 40. I'll just read a few little verses there, because these are the same time period we're talking about. And from verse 40 it says, and at the time of the end. Now, before we had the latter days, same time. And at the time of the end shall the king of the south push at him, and the king of the north shall come against him like a whirlwind, with chariots, horsemen, many ships. And he shall enter into the countries, and shall overflow and pass over. He shall enter also into the glorious land. When you read that in the Bible, you know what you're talking about, the land of Israel. And many countries shall be overthrown, but these shall escape out of his hand, even Edom and Moab. They are below the Dead Sea and over to the eastern side of Jordan, children of a man. He shall stretch forth his hand upon all the countries, and the land of Egypt shall not escape. But he shall have power over the treasures of gold and of silver, and over all the precious things of Egypt, and the Libyans and the Ethiopians shall be at his steps, or in other words, with him. And then tidings out of the east shall trouble him. Okay, that is two prophecies. I'm going to read another one too. There's one in Joel chapter 3. Listen to what he says here. This is all talking about the same time, because the end of all these sections into the next chapters and parts we're reading give Israel is saved from her enemies, and a mighty power is set up on earth, the Lord Jesus Christ to rule the nations. Here it is, Joel chapter 3. And behold, in those days, in that time when I shall bring again the captivity of Judah and Jerusalem. See, Judah and Jerusalem is the Lord's captive now when he's brought them back. I will also gather all nations and will bring them down into the valley of Jehoshaphat. See, all nations, and will plead with them. Therefore, my people Israel, and for my heritage Israel, whom they have scattered among the nations and parted my land. And then he goes over to verse 9. We won't read all the portions there, but you can read it at your leisure. Proclaim ye this among the Gentiles, prepare war, wake up the mighty men, let all the men of war draw near, let them come up, beat their plowshares into swords, pruning hooks into spears, let the weak say I am strong. Assemble yourselves and come all ye heathen, and gather yourselves together round about, thither cause the mighty ones to come down, O Lord. Let the heathen be wakened, and come up to the valley of Jehoshaphat, for there will I sit to judge all the heathen round about. Friends, that is also the same time. And I'm going to read one more from the prophet Zechariah. The prophet Zechariah is also at the end time prophecies, we call these. And he says there in the beginning of chapter 14, behold, the day of the Lord cometh, and thy spoil shall be divided in the midst of thee. I'll gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle, and the city shall be taken, and the houses rifled, the women ravished, and half the city shall go into captivity, and the residue of the people shall not be cut off from the city. Then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations as when he fought in the day of battle. Friends, the end of Ezekiel, the end of Daniel, the end of the book of Joel, and the end of Zechariah speak of a glorious time when the nations are brought back and brought into peace and humility before the Lord God of Israel. This is a wonderful time approaching. But first, to show from what is happening in the world today, the Christadelphians have said since 1840, way back, 1848, that this king of the north would be Russia, alongside with all those other nations it mentions, is the main part of the European empire, the European lot of nations. Tagama is also down around the Georgia area, and part of it is Siberia, away out on the side. That's Tubal. from verse 2 of chapter 38. It mentions there that the Persia, which we know is the Iranians, it mentioned Libya, it mentioned Ethiopia. All those nations in one big confederacy from Ezekiel are spoken of in Daniel as the king of the north, in Joel and Zechariah as all nations against Jerusalem and Israel. Yes, friends, as in Zechariah, it speaks of in other chapters there, it says, in that day will I make Jerusalem a burdensome stone for all people. All that burden themselves with it shall be cut to pieces, though all the people of the earth be gathered against it. See, the people of the world have punished the Jewish people. Well, God sent them out and scattered them, but they've been punished for their rejection of Jesus, for their rejection of the law that God gave them. Much is given, much is required, the Bible tells us. The Jewish people were chosen from Abraham, as we've been showing through in our Bible studies and our lessons through the scriptures, exploring the Bible, that Abraham was chosen, he was the father of that nation. We came through a lot of the things that happened, how they went down into Egypt, how they came out of Egypt. They were 40 years in the wilderness. They went into the promised land. They did not do what God wished them to do. But these things have gone on that the Gentiles will be brought in. The Gentiles were brought in at the time of Jesus. We have had that opportunity to know it. And as Paul tells the Galatians in chapter 3, I'll just show you that a couple of wee seconds there before we get back to a few more prophecies there. He says there, wherefore the Jewish law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you have been baptized into Christ, have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if ye be Christ, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Well, we haven't got time to go through all those promises exactly tonight, but we've been dealing with them through our Bible exploration. We've shown that there's been great and precious promises made to Abraham, and the Jew and us as Gentiles, we can come in through the Lord Jesus Christ, and we're associated with those Gentiles, with those beautiful promises. It's a place in a kingdom. It is a place in the land of Israel, is part that was promised to Abraham. Now, I've been reading this old book. It came in about 1848. And he says there, we discern from the modern name of Russia and Moscow, or Moscow, and the ancient names of Ross and Mosque and Mosque, it is not difficult to recognize in Tobol, Chubul, or Thubul, a name which naturally connects itself with them. Chubul gives names to the city of Tobolsk or Tobolsky, the metropolis of the region of Siberia, lying immediately eastward of the territories of Moscow. Gog is styled the Prince of Rosh, Mursk, and Chubul, that is, the autocrat of the Russian Muscovites and Siberians, or of all the Russias. But he is also styled Gog of the land of Magog as well. There is something important in this. It affirms that he is sovereign, this Gog is sovereign of Magog as well as prince of all the Russias. For there at the time of the prophecy is his proper dominion. Whoever reads Ezekiel, that's the prophet, says Michalis, a man that was studying these words, can hardly entertain a doubt that Gog is the name of a sovereign, and Magog that of his people. The prophet speaks of the former not as a people but as an emperor. Let us then now inquire, where is the region styled Magog, that we may be enabled to ascertain of what people besides the Russians Gog will be the emperor? And as Gomer and Togarmah of the north quarters are represented as being connected with them, we shall also endeavor to find out what modern nations will answer to these names. We know from the Hebrew scriptures that Magog and Gomer were the names of the sons of Japheth. And they are in that area of the northern area. Goma is related through to the French side of Europe. We're all of Japheth because we've come from those areas. The three sons of Noah was Ham, Japheth, and Shem. Shem has been the father of the Shemites, the Jewish people, and the Arabs. And then we've got Japheth as the father of the Europeans and ourselves, British, all those ones. And Ham has been representative of the African nations, the darker skinned ones. But the interesting thing that we need to take note of, that these prophecies, friends, are referring to the time prior to the Lord Jesus Christ. We've said for many years that the rise of Russia will be an indication that the Lord is close. We've been laughed at when the Soviet Union broke up, because it was a large empire when it had all those nations. But we've held firm, because the scriptures do not change. It says, in the latter days. Things can change from a week to a month to a year to 10 years. Russia was strong at the end of the war. She negotiated and hung on to a lot of those Eastern Bloc countries. When she was poor, when she was run down in the 1980s, 90s, early 90s, she gave them up. The Berlin Wall came down. The West took control of a lot of that area and offered independence to those nations away from the old Soviet Empire or the Russia. But what we see now is that Russia is strong again. She controls oil and gas in those areas. And the area that we've noticed recently on the news is the nation of Georgia. That is the area where it is possible that they will come down in their military army. We know that Russia is building a seaport in Syria, so it has access out of the Black Sea to a warm water port. We also know that from the prophecy of Daniel, with the image that I spoke of in one of our earlier lessons, the mighty vision that Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, have that Daniel interpreted for him. It has to stand on its feet. And when you read that in Daniel 2:44, you read down there, or 43, 44, 45, you read about these legs and these feet of iron and clay are the feet, but it stands up. And then a little stone knocks it down. Partly strong and partly weak are those clay and iron toes, and they represent the European nations. The Europeans are in the EU, European Economic Community, but they still want their independence. They don't want to be tied monetary, military, and all the rest, or even, say, spiritually, and all those ways together with everyone. They've always wanted their independence. So they've come together in a type of clay-y, iron-y substance. But it also says there that when they do make a move, that Gog, the chief prince of the land of Magog and Meshech and those ones. So therefore, Russia has allowed independence to a couple of provinces of Georgia, because there's a lot of Russians there. There are a lot of Russians in Ukraine, a lot of Russians in Lithuania, Latvia, and Estonia. Russia is strong enough now to stand on its own two feet and to make its move. We believe that, seeing it has the control of the gas and the oil from Russia to Europe, Europe cannot dictate the terms to Russia. America's put missile or anti-missile bases and going to in Poland. How provocative anyway. But still, there's a Cold War about to begin. But the King of the North's desires are written in the scripture. He will have a go at taking the Middle East of Israel. And what we see there also is in that giant image that of all those nations that were included in that image, which was Babylon, Medo-Persian, Grecian, and the Roman Empire, and right down to now. Well, Alexander the Great and the Grecian Empire went right through past the Indus River, which is in Pakistan. And we've believed and said for a long, long time that for that image to stand up fully, it must include all the territories of all the powers of that giant image, wherever they controlled, will be part of that King of the North. And the other interesting thing is not only what's happening in Georgia, that is, that Russia has shown its pressure there, is that we've seen, starting to see, the fall away of Pakistan. Pakistan was the area where Alexander the Great made his furthest eastern conquer in his, when he was in a, on his armies going east. So therefore, the military power there to go, which was really helping the United States against Al-Qaeda, is in disarray now because democracy really has allowed everyone to have a say and they all want their own way. Even the great Winston Churchill said that democracy is the seed of its own destruction. We become liberal, we become mixed up in things. Authority, autocrat like Russia, they like a strong man to be there, strong all the time, and they're looking to Putin now, and they have resources that the worst of the world needs. So friends, we haven't got a lot of time to talk on these things now, but remember that the Lord, that after Ezekiel 38, and at the end of it, you'll see the destruction of this northern host, northern power that comes down. You'll see in 39 the times of burying the dead and cleansing the land. And then you'll see a number of chapters showing a mighty temple to be built in Mount Zion of Jerusalem to rule the world. But let us not just think it is a Jewish thing. In Isaiah chapter 56, we read clearly there that this beautiful temple, I'll just read it. And the sons of the stranger that join themselves together to the Lord to serve them and to love the name of the Lord, to be his servants, everyone that keepeth the Sabbath from polluting it and taketh hold of my covenant, even them will I bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings, their sacrifices shall be accepted upon mine altar, for mine house shall be called an house of prayer for all people. It is for all people, this kingdom of God that the Lord Jesus Christ was and is the King. He is the King of Israel. He is that future King coming. And another part in Isaiah, showing you the peaceful existence that there will be, which there is not today. You listen to this. In that day there shall be a highway out of Egypt to Assyria, and the Assyrian will come into Egypt and the Egyptians into Assyria. Where do they have to get there? They have to go through the land of Israel. And the Egyptians shall serve with the Assyrians. In that day shall Israel be a third with Egypt and with Assyria, even a blessing in the midst of the land, whom the Lord of hosts shall bless, saying, Blessed be Egypt, my people, and Assyria the work of my hands, and Israel mine inheritance. So there's the mixture of the people. The Assyrians, the Egyptians, and the Israelis, the Jewish people, coming together in harmony. That is what the kingdom of God is. And I'll give you a quick read. You should read Psalm 72 at your leisure to show this wonderful time that will be in the future. Habakkuk 2:14, the earth shall be filled with the knowledge and glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. There is a time of wonderful peaceful, and that is the kingdom of God. Remember, he spent 3.5 years preaching the kingdom of God, and the disciples thought, well, he comes up to Jerusalem now before his crucifixion, he's going to make it, we'll make him king. But no, he went away, but he didn't deny that he was going to be a king. And when he ascended in Acts chapter 1, the same Jesus, the angel said, that you see go into heaven will so come in like manner as you've seen him go into heaven. He shall be king over all the earth, it says in Jeremiah. Now, we haven't got much more time, we've just a few seconds. I'd just like to inform you, you can write to Christadelphian P.O. Box 595, which will have books, pamphlet magazines on Russia, the time of the end, and those nations if you wish to inquire on them. We've got an online website, if you could like to log on to findthelight.co.nz, or you can write to me personally, Calvin Lyon, at Christadelphian, RD2 Waitetti, or phone me on 03-4822-698. Thank you for listening this night. We'll be on again in a fortnight. God bless your efforts. Thank you.
This program was first broadcast on Hills AM 1575 in Dunedin and made with the assistance of New Zealand On Air.